Welcome back to Greeks of the Globe. I'm your host, Andrea Nicola. This week, I chat to Kiri, a Greek Cypriot from North London. We talk about what it was like growing up in London. We also discuss the gender inequality within the Cypriot community. This week's episode covers sensitive materials relating to sexual assault. Welcome, Kiri. It's great having you join us today. I thought I'd just start off with you just introducing yourself. So tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from?
So I'm from North London and I'm a second generation Greek Cypriot, which means that my parents were born in Cyprus, but I was born over here and I grew up over here. I'm an editorial assistant for Bloomsbury. So I work in the publishing industry and work editing military history books. And I'm 24 years old, so I recently graduated.
So maybe let's start off with a little bit of, like, tell us what, seeing as I'm from Australia, what growing up in London as a Greek Cypriot was like. Like, what was your childhood like a little bit?
Well, I live in North London, which is a pretty much the Greek Cypriot capital of the UK. So I've always grown up surrounded by Greek Cypriots and going to Greek school. I went to Greek school for like 13 years of my life. Did the whole Greek dancing thing, sang like war hymns at Greek school and all of that stuff, was surrounded by my culture and my history throughout my life, which was quite nice. And I was raised by my yaya and my dad, and my yaya could only speak English and could only speak Greek. So again, I was always like in touch with my roots, which was nice. And we used to travel a lot to Cyprus when I was younger, and half of my family still live over there, so we're still close with everyone. And yeah, it's kind of nice to have a kind of mini Greek Cypriot community in London, because I know a lot of people don't have that and can feel like more distant from their roots and their heritage. And also as well, it's not just Greek Cypriots in London, there are lots of Turkish Cypriots as well. So you actually get to learn like about Turkish Cypriots' lives, and it's weird because I feel like in London you actually get the opportunity to build relationships with Turkish Cypriots that you probably wouldn't in Cyprus itself. So that's kind of a unique thing about living in, like, being a Cypriot in London, that those barriers actually get torn down. Well, I guess it depends on the type of person you are, but in my experience they have been.
So this is the whole reason why I brought you on the show today. I thought we could dive into the inequality in the Greek community that can be defined in many ways. Like,
yeah,
maybe we'll start off with that and just tell me your thoughts on the issue. Gender inequality, we'll start off with.
Like, sexism is a massive thing within, like, the Cypriot community. Obviously, it is everywhere, but I think Cypriots tend to be kind of behind on the issue and on the fight for equal rights between men and women, and also just how we perceive the different roles of men and women. I think that there's a way to be, like, a good and perfect, like, Cypriot daughter or Cypriot woman, and that's, like, quite a strict box, and it can be very restrictive. And especially, you mostly see it, I don't know, I always notice the inequalities when I'm around my family in big groups. So when we've got like a big dinner, and like for Christmas, for example, and it's always the women who are in the kitchen. Not necessarily, it's like my dad, he's actually a really good cook, so he also cooks. I'm going to give him the credit there. But in terms of most of the labour that's done, the domestic labour is always done by the women in my family. And it's just an expectation. So they're not never even like recognised for it. I feel like when men do any kind of domestic labour in the Cypriot community, it's like a big deal. It's not just something that should be a given. It's like, oh, you cook because you need to eat. Like, you shouldn't really be applauded for that. Whereas with women, it's just something that they have to do. And to reject that always causes trouble. I always find that women are always in the kitchen, which in the 21st century, I don't really understand why that's still a thing. But I'm not saying, like, obviously women shouldn't cook. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, it annoys me that at big events, women spend hours like cleaning up after everyone and not enjoying themselves because they have to bear like that extra burden of being the cleaners, being the cooks, being the hosts as well. Whilst my male cousins just sit in the other room, joking and playing games and having fun, drinking, talking about politics. There's definitely like a clear divide between the genders when we're in any kind of like domestic space. And when you try to point that out, usually you're told that you're making a big deal or you're just being lazy because you don't want to help out, which isn't the case at all. It's just, why should the women who oftentimes have like babies running after them spend hours on their feet doing dishes and the boys can just lift one plate and get applauded for it and then go back and do whatever they were doing in the first place? So I think that's like the very basic way that you kind of see those inequalities. But obviously there are deeper issues as well. I'm not sure if you've noticed it as a boy, like what you've seen.
It's funny because one, we're on the opposite side of the world. And two, yeah, the like when we're at family functions, the depends. Like if it's at my house, like I probably do it too. If it's at my house, I clean and stuff like with my mum and stuff. But when we're at probably other people's houses, like depending on whose the house is, like I'd start to clean. But then, yeah, it tends to be all the women in the kitchen.
You see, so my brother lifts a plate. And it's like, oh, he's such a good boy. Look at him. You're so lucky to have like a brother like that. And it's like, okay, he did one thing. He's never washed a dish in his life because he says he has eczema, so he can't wash a dish, apparently. meanwhile, like my cousins with like arthritis in their hands and they're like scrubbing dishes for hours. Like, I don't think that's fair. And I also like the women as well. I think this is something that's kind of unique to Cypriot community, to the Cypriot community, is that the women are oftentimes the most sexist. So they're the ones who are like upholding these traditional roles the most because they see it as some kind of like, I don't want to say it's just a way, the traditional thing to do. So if you're kind of resisting that in any way, you're just seen as kind of being like a troublemaker or just being annoying. But I think we just kind of accept the way that things are and don't actually ask why they're like that. And the kind of damaging effects it actually has for like young girls growing up in that environment to just be seen as, oh, okay, we're literally being segregated into another room. We would clean up after ourselves as well when we were kids. It's not just like as we got older. The girls would always go in the kitchen and help tidy up, like from any age really. And we never got like, oh, you're such a good girl for helping out. It was always, okay, this is just something that you're going to have to do for the rest of your life. You're going to have to learn how to be a good wife. You're going to need to learn how to like cook for your husband and have things ready for him when he gets home. And if you don't, you're just lazy. If that's not for you, you're just lazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I do kind of, I do get what you mean by like the women encouraging it, because I was thinking like, if I do end up going to the kitchen, you tend to get kicked out anyway.
I wish that happened to me.
do you know what I mean? That's what I was trying to think. I was like, okay, what do I do to help the situation? Am I making it worse? Or
and like, I would like to think that when I have kids, if I ever have sons, that I wouldn't baby them as much as like Cypriot boys tend to get babied in my family and in probably a lot of families. But
oh, totally. My mum's in Brisbane and I'm in Melbourne and she came for the week and I don't think I got up once. Like, I think she did all my washing. She like cooked for me. She did all my cleaning.
I have friends who were at uni and they would bring home all of their clothes for their mums to do. And like, they were all male friends and their Cypriot mums would just like do all their washing for them every week when they would come down. And I was just like, imagine if I did that. I think I'd get like beaten for being so presumptuous and just letting people do my chores for me. And I know guys who still don't even know how to put a wash on.
Do you think you see the like gender inequality with the younger generation? Like, you know how you were talking about how like everyone's in the kitchen, blah blah blah. But like, what about people say, your age now?
I still see it with people who are my age, definitely. I'm not sure if I just have like quite a traditional family in that sense, but I definitely still see that the men are still like not really helping out with chores and stuff like that. And when it comes to cooking as well, not doing, they do the things that are considered manly. So when it comes to sublime barbecue and all of that stuff, they'll be first in line. But when it comes to anything else, I don't see people of my generation really like doing anything that different. I think maybe the main difference that I've seen is that people tend to point it out more, that it's a bit unequal. But other than that, I don't really, I think things are basically still the same. More conversations are happening about it, but I don't see that translating in the home.
The only like example you've kind of used is just like women in the kitchen, men sitting down. Is there any other aspects of it, of like the gender inequality that you see?
Well, yeah. So I guess another, like a big one, is the different treatment towards like girls and boys, like leaving the house and actually having a social life. There's a different attitude toward it. So if I'm out late, I get like a million phone calls and texts being like, where are you? What are you doing? Come back now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to check in every few hours and just let everybody know where I am at all times. And then obviously I get the whole lecture about what I'm wearing whenever I go out. Oh, be careful, like don't do anything stupid, loads of things, keep your wits about you, all of those things, that lecture that I'm still getting at 24. And when my brother's out all night, like there's no problem at all. And he's not that much older than me, and he's never really had a problem with going out. In fact, it's encouraged. And when he is out all night, my dad has a little smirk on his face, like, yeah, get it. So I think it's annoying to see that, again, like women's bodies are policed all the time in the Cypriot community, and that, which I don't think is unique to the Cypriot community. I don't think that that's necessarily something that, you know, is particularly emphasized. But I think that maybe the difference is that, again, like I said before, a lot of the time it's other women who are reinforcing those requirements and those expectations. So I get calls from my auntie when she knows that I'm going out, and I get a lecture before every time to be like, make sure that you're being safe, and you know what boys are like, which I really hate when people say that, but the whole boys will be boys thing, and then you're the one who always has to be alert, you're the one who always has to be aware of the dangers that are out there, because at the end of the day, men should also have repercussions for their actions. Like if they're going to be predatory, that's not on me to think about every single possible thing that can happen to me. I just want to live my life. I shouldn't be told as a woman, these are all of the things that you need to do to protect yourself. You should be telling your sons what they need to do to not be predatory. I'm not the one who should be out there having a checklist of all of the things that I need to do to keep safe and then end up not enjoying myself when I go out with my friends. You should actually just teach your sons that women aren't theirs to claim and to do what they want with. But I don't think that, I don't know, there's still a victim blaming culture that is really strong in the Cypriot community. And it means the conversations about sexual assault, I think, are basically non-existent. I think whenever it comes up, so whenever it's in the news, there's not really a dialogue that's able to exist, I don't think, in like Cypriot households, because it's always like, oh, well, yeah, that's sad, but why was she drunk, or why was she out late at night, or why was she wearing that? And there's always this expectation like, oh, but you're a good girl, so that could never be you. It could literally happen to anyone. I think I was reading something that said like 1 in 5 women in Cyprus are like violently sexually assaulted. So that's 1 in 5. That's a pretty high statistic. And then in the UK, 97% of women are sexually harassed. But I think whenever you try and have discussions like that with people in like with other Cypriots, they just kind of roll their eyes and pretend like it's not an issue when it is an issue. And I think there's a lot of trauma that comes from like just growing up within a Cypriot household as a woman and hearing conversations about like rape and sexual assault, because it's always like, oh, but she could be lying. Oh, but it didn't really happen like that. Well, why was she doing that? Why was she like drinking? Or why was she out late at night?
Yeah.
And I think it means that it fosters like a culture of silence that means that like women who do go through something would never ever confess to their family that they have been harassed or assaulted, because it would bring so much shame. And I think this obsession of Cypriots with like reputation is so poisonous, because it means that as a woman, in order to protect your family's reputation, you can't admit if something disgusting has happened to you.
It's not just in the Cypriot community. Like, this is happening in, like, for example, in Australia currently, there's been a lot of like allegations of like things happening in Australian Parliament. So I don't know if you've heard, you probably haven't, seeing as you're in the UK, but there's this lady called Brittany Higgins who says that she was raped in Parliament House.
Yeah.
And then you just see on Twitter and like people commenting literally what you were saying, like all that sort of stuff with like not believing or everything. And then like they did like, there's a show called Four Corners in Australia, and they did like a whole segment on like the issues happening in Parliament House and everything. And then since then, a few more people have come out to like tell their stories and stuff. And you just see how people, like how it is hard for the victim essentially to come out, because they get so much pressure on them after, and then like it ruins their careers and all that. So I get it. Not that I get it, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not just the Cypriot community. It's happening like all around the world, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you that it's a global issue. But what I think is maybe unique to the Cypriot community is the fact that there's no, at the moment anyway, there's hardly any efforts to address that. So it doesn't take a genius to realize that blaming a woman for her own assault is never the right thing to do. But I think, and like other cultures and communities are having conversations about that, but I don't see in a lot of Cypriot families any discussions about like female autonomy and like sexual assault and sexual harassment. Every time the discussion comes up with like people that I know who are Cypriot, it's always like, oh, but loads of people have sex and then regret it. That doesn't mean that it's a sexual assault. Or like when that girl, there was a British tourist who got gang raped in Cyprus. Do you know this story?
Yeah, I read about it.
Yeah, in like 2019, the summer of 2019, I think. And then she was bullied by police, basically, into giving up, into retracting her statement. And linguists looked at the statement and they said it was obvious that it wasn't written by her, that it was a non-native English speaker who wrote the statement. And then she was just pressured into signing it. And she had no lawyer there. So it was really unethical, everything that happened, that she was by herself. She was being interrogated for hours and she had no lawyer. And she was forced to like sign that statement. And then she got a prison sentence of like 4 months in prison, which is just completely insane for lying about this alleged like gang rape. And the Israeli men never denied having sex with her. They just said, oh, it was definitely consensual. And then the Cypriot police were making out as if she was just some like slut, basically, who agreed to have sex with 12 men. But then when she realized that it was being filmed, regretted it, basically. But first of all, even if she had agreed to have sex and they were filming her without her consent, that is still a major offence. But I think the Cypriot police and the Cypriot authorities basically just saw her as another British tourist who had gone wild on holiday and wanted to tarnish the reputation of the island as like such a great holiday destination and all of that stuff, without actually considering the fact that this woman had been gang raped. by 12 people, ranging from the ages of 15 to 22. And she now suffers from like PTSD. And I think they're trying to appeal it, but I don't know. And the conversations in this country from a lot of Cypriots were, I saw like this Facebook comment from some Cypriot saying, oh, I watched the video and it looked like she was enjoying it to me. I'm sorry, what the hell is a grown man doing watching a video of a woman getting assaulted by like 12 men and just saying it looked like she was enjoying it? And then he's admitted to watching a video of a woman getting assaulted on Facebook, and he thinks that that's okay. Like, it didn't even cross his mind that that would be a disgusting thing to admit to. That to me was a kind of, it made me ashamed to like even associate myself with Cyprus. It just really, it's disheartening for like Cypriot women to see the fact that rapes in that country are not taken seriously, and they're not seen as like, but what is taken seriously is how you report it. And then people are like, oh, but if you get sexually assaulted, why don't you report it? Well, because I'm going to be prosecuted for telling someone about my assault, that's why. And I'm going to be condemned to prison for it. So we need to like actually have more open discussions about assault and about like rape within the Cypriot community, and not have people just say, like, always fall back on the lying accusation, because the percentage of rape accusations that are actually false are minuscule. But that's never something that's really brought up. It's always, oh, but they're probably lying.
Yeah, these conversations need to happen like more often. I don't hear them ever.
Yeah.
Like ever. Even the conversation on like the gender inequality and stuff, I don't hear people talking about it as much. Mainly from my sister and one of my cousins who told me to do this episode because she's like, it needs to happen.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to be had like a discussion about it, and it can't just always be like, oh well, you're just causing trouble, you're just being irritating by having this conversation, because these are things that really affect people's lives. Like, one in five women being sexually assaulted is, that's like, let's say you have 10 female cousins, that's two of them would have been sexually assaulted. It's highly likely that you have 10 female cousins because you're Cypriot, so you probably have a big family. So it's also just how you talk about these issues behind the scenes, because they can hear what you're saying and they register it. So if they register the fact that you're listening to someone in the news, like the Me Too movement, and then you're saying that this is all bullshit and that groping isn't a big deal, and like people who report rape are just attention seekers and stuff like that, it means that they will never ever open up to you if something happens to them, because they see what you say about it behind closed doors, not realizing that this is something that has actually affected someone that you know and care about. But that's never something they take into consideration. It's just kind of word vomit that comes out. And then,
So why is it that, you know how you just used that example of like, if it was like 2 in 10 people are, it, like your family, right?
Yeah.
For, I find a lot of the time for men feel like the only way they can understand is if they feel like it's someone in their family. Like,
and I hate that.
So the Prime Minister in Australia, when they were talking about this Brittany Higgins case that I spoke about a couple weeks ago in a press conference, he was like, my wife, Jenny, told me to think about it like it's my daughter. And then he was like talking about it, blah, blah, blah. And then after, the comments that was coming from everyone was like, but why do you have to think about it like it's your daughter? Why can't you just think about it like it's any woman and this shouldn't be happening?
Yeah.
And exactly. I found it interesting when you used that as an example straight away, because I was like, is that, did you do that because you felt like that's the only way like a man would understand? Or? No.
Well, I think sometimes it is genuinely the only way that they understand. And I think, but also I think as Cypriots as well, there's, you have like this idea of, I don't know, sometimes it seems like sexual promiscuity and stuff is a Western thing. And as Cypriot women, maybe because we're more traditional, at least like in general, and that we're holding on to like older values that it would never be us, right? It would never be us like going out partying in Ayanaba all night and like getting with guys that we don't know, because we're good girls and we go to church every Sunday and we fast and we take Holy Communion and we do all of that. So it, a lot of the time I feel like the men in like big Greek families have this perception of who their like female relatives are. And because of that, they think, oh, okay, like they're good girls, like nothing is ever really going to happen to them, or they're never going to be in like uncomfortable situations that they can't navigate, or they're strong so they can defend themselves, etc., etc. But in the reality, no one is protected from that. And it doesn't matter if you're like what society would define as a good girl or that stuff, you can experience serious trauma. And even if you were going out all night and doing all of that stuff, it doesn't like, it doesn't really have any relation. It doesn't matter. I was raised by a single dad as well. And my dad is quite progressive in terms of like, well, compared to most Cypriot men. I always tell him, like, as the father of three daughters, you should be interested in these subjects. Like, you should take an interest in women's rights and in like women's movements, in the Me Too movement, because these things directly affect your children. And then he was like, yeah, but I know you, like, if anyone ever did something to you, you would just like punch them. And I was like, Dad, no, I fucking wouldn't, because that, it's dangerous. I don't know men. Like, this idea that certain women can, almost like being assaulted is the fault of the person, and it's something that happens to certain type of, to a certain type of woman, is still endemic within the Cypriot community. And that's quite a shocking thing to still be so prevalent.
Obviously, this is a pretty important conversation. And maybe if we go back to how the inequality in the Greek community with between men and women, what do you think our community could be doing to change this or like make things better?
I think it just comes from listening to people. I think that's the main thing. Like, just if someone says, Thea, why isn't George lifting the plates? Why isn't he helping out too? Like, he's a grown man. I think he can, you know, he's in the gym 24/7. I think he can, you know, flex those muscles and actually lift a few plates. I think instead of being like, oh, attacking the person asking and saying like, oh, but I asked you to help, do you not want to help? And then blah, blah, blah. We could just say, okay, I hear you. We can all help out together, because then it takes a lot less time. And then we could all go back to playing cards together and playing Monopoly and drinking together and all of that fun stuff. I was just going to say that I think like Greek Cypriot women are some of the strongest women I know. Like, my yaya went to school for a year. She didn't have an education. She worked like making bamboo baskets in the village. She got married. She moved to like England. We brought her whole family over here. She like wrote poetry. She raised her own kids. She raised her grandkids. Like, she was amazing.
Anyway, so I think that's how we'll leave it. Thank you so much for your time. It was great having you today.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
If you or someone you know is impacted by sexual assault or domestic violence, call 1-800-RESPECT. International helplines can be found via www.befrienders.org. In Australia, the Crisis Support Service is Lifeline 131114. Greeks of the Globe is now a fortnightly podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on your favourite place you get your podcast from. We are also now on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Follow us at Greeks of the Globe.